Praise God, it's August the 23rd, Sunday morning. God's faithful, you know it. He always is faithful. And we're turning now to St. John chapter 5, verse 39. And this will be kind of, you might say, the title of this message maybe this morning. Because this scripture that Jesus said here, this particular word he spoke, is so important to believe and to get a hold of. Because as believers, you know, we're called believers. Believers do what? What do believers do? They believe. Well, you got to know what you believe in to believe. What do you believe in? Well, tell me what you believe in. What do you believe? What do you believe? What do you believe? What do you believe? Everybody come up with something that they believe. And what they really base their actions and ideas and what they do. He really is bigger than all. And that's what you believe. But there's some people who can't believe that. There's some people who cannot believe that God is bigger than all their problems. There's a lot of people who just, they honestly, if I ask them, what do you believe? They can't tell you what they believe because they don't really have anything to believe. I've walked up to many young person and said, what are you going to do when you grow up? What do you believe you're going to become? Well, I don't know what I'm going to be. They don't have a believing even in their self. They don't know what they are, who they are. They don't believe. So it's important to know what you believe. Sometimes we got to look at ourselves and say, what do you believe? Did you know that you should never pray, ever even pray and ask God for something you can't believe that he can do? You never pray beyond your ability to believe. And so believing is really super, super important. I mean, it's way more important. And did you know your believing will put you in a box? If you believe the wrong way, it will absolutely put chains on your ankles and hold you down. God may want you to go here, and because of your belief system and because what you believe, you'll stay here. Even though the Spirit of God is saying go there, you'll stay right here because that's what you believe God wants you to do. But God may want you to do something completely different. But because of what you believe will keep you right here. Or God will say, I want you to do this. Well, I don't believe God does that. And it could be completely wrong. So it is very important to what you believe. You determine your future by what you believe. Whatever it is you believe is key. It doesn't matter what I believe. It doesn't matter even what God believes. It's what do you believe is the key to your life. It's the key to your future. It's the key to who what you have. It's the key to your success. It's the key to what you even believe. Your health, your well-being, your family, your children, your grandchildren, everything can hinge on what you believe. What I believe has affected my children.
I believe when I need food, I'm going to be fed. I believe and I know it's true. My faith is what sets me free. Woo! My belief in God
Whoa!
Is what I am. He's my daddy. He's my daddy.
And that's what you believe.
I know it. I know it.
Because you believe it.
I know it. It's in me.
Woo! That's believing. But a lot of people cannot stand up and say, I believe. I believe. I believe. And when I pray based on what I believe.
God sends you to the bank and you know you had $1.50 in the bank. And you're going to the bank, and God says, go check your visa. And say, but God, I looked at my visa yesterday. I had $1.50. Go check your visa. You go to the bank, and there's $100-some in the bank. And you shout because you need groceries. Where'd it come from? God put it there.
Yes, you know, but you believe.
Had the money that you needed, and he sent it to you. I know it's happened to me too many
But
times.
You got a belief system that believes that in a God that can do that for you.
I got out of money, and I prayed about it, and God sent that money back to me. $1,500. God knows what you need and when you need
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Exactly. Believing is the key to so much of your life.
He stopped me from buying a car that was broke down and gave me one that runs. I believe.
I believe. Well, look at this verse. This verse is powerful. This verse is a key verse to your life, my life. My life has been based on this verse right here. I've based my entire life on this verse. My whole life. If I could pick out one verse, and there's many, but this is one of the most important verses that I have based my entire life on. And this is first. Let's look at it. And I think you need to look at it. I think everybody needs a Bible and need to look at it. Anybody need a Bible? I got a Bible. Everybody got a Bible? You need a Bible? We got Bibles. Put your eyeballs on this because this is important to look at and listen to. Look, verse 39. Search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. What's it mean, search the Scriptures? Search the Scriptures. The Word of God is the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. Does that mean you got, is that an action word? I think that's an action word. I think search means search. Search. What are you searching for? What are you searching for? What are you searching for? Why do you even spend time searching the Word? Why am I searching for God? Because God has all the answers. God has all the plans for your life. God is your heavenly Father. He's the only one that's going to take you into eternity. You can't save your own soul. And so when Jesus said, search the Scriptures, search the Scriptures, it means you got to put some legs to work. You got to get busy and do something. Search means search. Search means really look. Look. Seek. Investigate. I don't know what kind of word else you could say there, but it really means get busy and do something about finding the Word of God for yourself. Because it'll be what you base your belief system on, how you search for the Word. Now, you know, you can go to the wrong places and hear the wrong things, and it'll affect how you believe. It'll affect how you believe. It really will. It really will. So you've got to know that you're searching in the right places. You're searching in the right areas. And you got to have some trust in God to help you in your search. You got to trust God. Did you ever lose something? Did you ever lose something and think, well, where did I lose it? Let me retrace my steps here. Where could I go? Where did I go? Well, if you lost, say you lost your wallet. And you've never, and you know you can trace back where you've been since the last time you saw that wallet. And you know that if you have never been... Say you've never been to the horse park, Kentucky Horse Park. Maybe been one time 5 years ago. Well, the chances are if you went to the horse park, it's not a good place to go search for that wallet, right? It ain't going to be at the horse park because you ain't been there. Maybe in 5 years. So you ain't going to spend all your time over there at the horse park searching for your wallet. But you're going to go and search for it where you know you've been. So you got an idea. Well, maybe it's here. Maybe it's in this room. Maybe it's over here at this gas station or wherever. But you do your search based on... You know, you just kind of know this is a good place to go. So when you start getting in the Word of God, something should tell you this is good. And something should say this ain't so good. You see, when I was in a church where I saw a lot of wonderful things happen, a lot of good things. But when they started telling me I couldn't wear a pair of pants or I'd go to hell, there was something about that word that just didn't sit right with me. I say, I don't know about that. I don't know if I need to search into that situation anymore. I think I need to find out the truth on that. So you begin to do a research of your own in that area. There's just churches that I do not go searching for the truth at because they don't have the truth. You search for God in places where you know they have the truth. Are you going to go somewhere where they're going to tell you to miss wrong things or give you the wrong information? You're going to continue your search there? Because you know it's not right there. You ain't going to find the truth in that place. So you go searching for it where you know you're going to find what you're looking for. And the looking for is the truth. God is what you're looking for. The truth. God is the truth. God is love. God is truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life is what Jesus said he is. He's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. So what did Jesus say about the Scriptures? If you're going to search for him, you better search the Scriptures. I like going to church, but you better go to a preacher that's preaching the Word, the Scriptures. Bask everything up with the Word of God. Back everything up with Scripture. And I mean rightly dividing the Word of truth. Rightly dividing it. Knowing where it goes and where it should be. So when we look at the scripture, what Jesus said, search the scriptures. This is almost a command. Search the scriptures. For in them, you think you have eternal life. And look at what he said next. And they are they which testify of me. Every single scripture, it proclaims that Jesus is alive. Jesus is coming. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the door of the sheep. Everything in the scripture points to Jesus. If you really look at it, it's all pointing to Jesus. Everything points to Jesus. And your search is for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because he's your Savior. I looked at this girl the other day when we were praying for her. I said, you can't just make him your Savior, honey. You're going to have to make him the Lord of your life. He's going to have to be your everything, your all in all. So when you search for God, you're searching for the truth. And you're searching the scriptures for the truth. The scriptures. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. And what I love about searching the scriptures is the fact that the scriptures will get rid of some stinky thinking that we got going on. Our misconceptions, our misunderstandings, our wrong ideas of God, our wrong thinking about God, the wrong picture we have in our head of God. And it'll expand our borders about God. I love reading the Word because the Word of God, the scriptures, they are alive. The scriptures literally have life in them. The scriptures are living scriptures, living word. This word is not a dead word. It's a living word. And it brings life to you. And it'll bring reality to you. It'll bring the reality of God to you. It'll make you realize God really is God. In fact, he's standing right here. And everything he says about himself, he backs it up. Because this spirit backs up this word. Whew. Now look at Hebrews. Search the scriptures. And I'm going to go to chapter 6 and starting with verse 7. For the earth which drinketh in the rain and cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. Now do you think Abraham had a Bible like we do? Did Abraham have a handbook like we got of the Word of God? Was Abraham out there in the wilderness? Was he walking around? Could he pick up the Bible like we do and just start letting God talk to him? No, Abraham had to know God by faith. And God had to speak to Abraham just like he speaks to us. But he had to believe what God said to him. And what he said to him was this, surely, blessing, verse 14, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. How many times has God promised us in his word, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. That's a word to you. But it's not a word to you if you don't make it a word to you. The word is never going to be a word to you until you make it a word to you. You can search the scripture all day long and you can quote this Bible inside and out, but until it becomes a personal relationship with you, that word becomes your word. That Bible becomes your Bible. That Jesus is your Jesus. You're searching him because you want him to be your Jesus. You want this scripture to be your scripture, and you're going to put that word in your mouth, and it's going to make, now it's going to be your word. And you're going to have a belief system that's based on a foundation that cannot be moved. Because he can't be moved. Can you move God's throne? Do you think there's anything in this life you and I could do that would shake the throne of God? I don't care. Your worst day doesn't affect heaven. Your worst circumstances doesn't affect heaven. And when you find that kind of foundation, it doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter how mad you get. It doesn't care how angry you are with people. It doesn't matter how sad you are, how depressed you are. You might want to die. But it doesn't move the throne of God. Nothing changes heaven. Heaven isn't impressed with us. And I plan to live there forever. So I've learned that I better line me up with heaven. Line me up with the Word. Because my world doesn't affect heaven. In fact, my world's getting ready to pass away. And my puny little existence here is going to be a poof in the air.
That's right.
But I'm going to go on into a kingdom that's established in the heavens forever.
Amen.
And that Word is what it's based on. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will never pass away.
Amen.
Never.
Amen.
Never. So that Word of God better be your anchor. It better be your solid foundation. It better be what you believe.
Yes.
That's your belief system. Whatever this Word says, that's what you believe. I don't care what you feel. Does it say you base your life on your feelings? No, you base it on the Word of God. And that's what Abraham did. Abraham was out there, was 70-some years of age when God spoke to him. He had never had a baby. Him and Sarah had been trying to have a baby since she was 16, probably. And she'd been barren her entire life, and now she's an old woman. And God says, you're going to have a child by Sarah. That man had to believe. He didn't have no Bible to back it up. He didn't have Genesis, Exodus, Deuteronomy, and Matthew, Luke, John. He didn't have anything. But he had a belief system in a living God that was passed down from Abraham. I mean, Abraham had a belief system that was passed down because they were covenant-minded people. They understood covenant, and that had been passed down from Adam, had passed it on down to Seth, and I'm talking on down, on down, on down. Noah and his children after the flood, and then on down to Abraham. Not that many years had passed. So the belief system has got to be based on this Word, and it's got to be a living Word to us. And I'm not finished because this is important to get this. Hebrews chapter 6. Let's look again at verse 15. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. And so, you could say the same thing there for you and me. The same thing is exactly the truth. If it worked for Abraham, he's a human being, right? Who believe God, the same thing works for you and me. And so, after Teresa has patiently endured, she shall receive the promise, obtain the promise. So after I have patiently endured, because I embrace it like it's the truth, I see it already done. If God said it, that settles it. I don't have to come along and say, do you really believe God said what he did and he meant what he meant? No, that settles it. If God says, surely blessing, I'm going to bless you. And multiplying, I'm going to multiply you. He didn't even have a baby. And so after he patiently endured, and if Abraham, the father of faith, had to have to patiently endure, how much you think I'm going to get away with not having to patiently endure some things? You think in situations that I'm just, you know, we just want a McDonald's God is what we want. I heard Gloria Copeland say, we just want a drive-through God. And we get all bent out of shape if God doesn't answer our prayers right now. Right now. God, I'm mad, and you better come through right now. And God, I'm upset with this person. You better deal with them right now. And if you don't, God, I'm going to walk away. Or whatever happens, we just get ourselves all bent out of shape. And you know what? Heaven just is still heaven. Heaven and God is still God. And I don't care how you fit, how you scream, how you cry, how you bawl and squall. And I beat my head against the wall many a time. And expecting God to think, oh, poor Teresa. Maybe I better answer that prayer. No, that isn't how God works. If you know what, he would have to apologize to Abraham and say, you know, Abraham, Teresa's a little more special than you, and I need to go ahead and answer her prayer right now because she's having a little fit down there. That's exactly how some of us feel like God should just come along and just Better hurry up for her because she's putting some orders here in. Well, let me tell you something. God is not impressed with you or me. He don't care how I look. I don't care how pretty you are. I don't care how ugly you are. God ain't impressed with that. You know what impresses God? Believe in that word. That's what impresses God, is what do you believe? I will do. He will do exactly what he says he will do. And sometimes we got to patiently endure so we can obtain the promise. I'm out to obtain the promise. That's the end of my goal. I want to obtain everything God says I can't obtain. How about you, Walter? Ain't you after the promise? Ain't you after the promise of God? If he says I'll do it, by golly, I believe he said he will do it. He meant he will do it. I'm out to obtain the promise. If he said it, I believe it. That settles it. Whether I see it yet or not, I got it. Whether I see the manifestation yet, I got it. Because he promised it. He promised it. It's coming. I don't know exactly when, but it's coming, and I've already got it right now. I'm not hoping way off somewhere down the yonder. I got it right now because I believe it right now. Because he is. He is the God. He is. Like we shared last week. He that cometh to God must believe he is. He is. That's who he is. Search the scriptures. You think, search the scriptures. They speak of me. He is what he says he is right now. Glory. And so what he says here, and after, 15 again, and so after he had patiently endured, what's he saying? You have need of patience. After you've done the will of God, you might inherit the promise. And so after he had patiently endured, this is the icing on the cake. He obtained the promise. He got what he believed God for. His believer was kicked in full gear, and he wasn't backing off for no circumstances. What he looked at, what it seemed like, or what he felt like, or what he saw. He believed the word, and he stood on it. So I'm telling you, I know what it is to patiently endure. Because you know what the alternative to that is? Throwing your hands up and giving up. What else is there? What else is there, Walter, once you start on this race? I patiently endured some stuff, but I've always obtained the promise. I've learned to do like what Paul said. Look behind me, but look ahead of me. And patiently run this race for the crown that is set before me. Don't ever look back. Jesus said, any man that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. So therefore, I'm going to patiently endure. Because I'm going to receive the promise. What do you believe in God for? It's important what you believe. It's important what you believe. And you better start believing it, and you better start talking it. You better start believing it and talking it. If you want to patiently endure, you're going to obtain the promise. The promise is coming, but you can't be any better than Abraham. You're going to have to believe that you've already received. Believe that you receive. That's why Jesus said, what's the things you desire when you pray? Believe you receive it. And you shall have it. We want to see it, and then we'll say, okay, now I'll believe God. Because now I got it. No, you got to believe it the moment you prayed. Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, I'll give it you. There's so many promises that it's unbelievable, the promises that we have to stand on. But our belief system has got to be based on this word. And Jesus says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you've got eternal life. You know what that word eternal life means? The nature of God. The ability of God. The kingdom of heaven in you. You think you got God on your side, but you ain't got anything on your side if you don't believe the word right. You've only got God on your side based on his word. He watches over his word to perform it. If you're believing the wrong thing, he ain't going to perform that for you. I don't care how much you believe it. If it's wrong, God's not going to impress with that. God is not going to honor something that is wrong. You better get your believing right so God can work in it. God can't work in a lie. God can't work in the wrong belief. He will only do what he says he will do in this word. That's why we got to know the word. We got to know the word for us. Because the devil knows the word. The devil knows the Bible. The devil knows this Bible better than you and I know it. He knows this Bible. He knows how to twist the scriptures. He knows how to make it say what he wants it to say. The devil knows how to trick you up. He knows. He knows how to tell you something. Now, you know the devil killed that baby. You know that. I mean, the devil will come on and say, you know, the Lord was wanted a little angel in heaven. Now, that's a lie. But a lot of people believe that. That baby's in heaven now because God wanted one more little angel. That is the biggest lie that the enemy ever told on God. God does not kill babies. Would you serve a God that kills babies? You know, I mean, just all kinds of crazy beliefs out there. Crazy beliefs, but it's not based on the word. You receive what you believe. Be it unto you as you have believed, the Bible says, the word says. But let's go into this again. Let's go further. Verse 16 says, for men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation to them an end of all strife. In other words, I want you to work for me, Walter, and today I'll pay you, after you get finished working, I'll pay you $50. Now, you believe me or not? Now, if I'm an honorable person, you'll say, yes, ma'am, thank you. And you'll believe that's coming. But God it cannot lie. If God says this is the way it is, you can believe him. He ain't like a man that can lie. But if God says this is the way it is, you can count on it. But because God is even more willing, he says, I'm even more willing to show you how truthful I am. I'm going to back it up with an oath. He's going to promise it. He's going to make it and establish it through a covenant promise, is what that scripture is talking about. He backed it up with a covenant promise. That in verse 18 said that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And I could go on and on, but I'm going to stop here, and I'm going to explain the best that I can with God's help what this is talking about. Because this right here, it applies to everything in our lives right here. Right here. Have you ever felt like a ship that was being tossed around to and fro? You're up and you're down. You're sad and you're happy. And all that's based on your circumstances around you. Ever felt like sometimes the winds of life are just driving you farther and farther away from God? Do you ever just feel like sometimes you ain't got no hope for nothing? Do you ever feel like you ain't got an ounce of faith for anything? Do you ever just feel like God is nowhere around? Do you ever just feel like you're just the most worthless thing that ever was? Do you ever feel like that nobody loves you? Nobody cares nothing about you? You're just a worm under a rock. You might as well just go away and eat worms and die. I'm telling you, we all have gone through these things. I'm talking just... God will not let you quit. But that's what the scripture is talking about, how important it is to believe the word. Because your feelings will deceive you. Your feelings will mislead you. Your feelings will tell you the wrong thing. You'll get the wrong attitude, the wrong idea, and then guess what? You'll start believing the wrong thing. And what you believe, you won't patiently endure for nothing. You won't patiently wait on God for nothing. And you'll never obtain a promise if you don't wait on God. I keep pointing, I'm sorry, but I'm just telling you, you just have to believe God. You have to be patient with God. Sometimes the wheels of God turn a little slow. You know, sometimes it takes time. We get our lives in such a mess. I'll never forget, Gloria Copeland was preaching one time about finances. You know, it's their life, you don't hear their testimony. Their lives were in a mess financially. Financial mess. I've been there. And it didn't happen overnight. A lot of times our lives, our emotions, our minds are so a mess and entangled so much in the world system through whether it be alcohol or drugs or whatever it is that you need a healing in, or you need delivered, and you need some change in your life. Sometimes it just took years and years of living to get it to that mess. And we just want God to instantly just fix it. And He can sometimes. But the other times it takes time, especially in the financial realm, for God to undo some things we've done wrong. And the wheels of God are always turning toward good. His word will never pass. Heaven and earth will pass away, but this word will never pass away. It's time to get on board with the word and believe what God said and obtain your promise. And search the scriptures. Your belief is based on what you know of God through His word. God teaches us who He is by His word. We think, oh, God will teach me by circumstances. It doesn't say that. God does not teach you by circumstances. You can learn some things about God because of circumstances, because it'll force you to maybe read the word or seek God. But God reveals Himself through His scriptures. That's what Jesus just said. He said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you've got eternal life, but they are they which speak of me. Jesus is your eternal life. Do you know He's the one who gave up the ghost for us? He gave up the ghost. The breath of life went out of Him. His spirit went out of Him. And He went into eternity of hell, the eternity of hell, and paid the penalty for our sins. But God raised Him back to life. And He made Him the firstborn among many brethren, the Bible says. And that's what this next scripture is talking about. Verse 20 says, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. If you could get a view and some spiritual insight to how powerful and how awesome it is to have a forerunner that's entered in through the veil in the very presence and throne room of God, and He is your representative there. He is the only man that ever went there and is still there representing you and I in the presence of God Almighty Himself, Jehovah God. Jesus Christ is your mediator before God. He's your lawyer. He's your advocate. He's the one who stands in your place and talks to God about your sin and pleads your case with God and says, have patience and have mercy on this one till she gets her act together, or he gets his act together. He's your high priest. We do not know how important it is to have a high priest who's actually working and functioning as our high priest before the presence of God. He's the Word of God. He is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was what made God. I mean, in the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was God. We got the Word of God, and when you start believing the Word, and you start speaking the Word, and you start praying the Word, you're getting some things in order with the Word, and you're believing the Word. Your believer's starting to work. Something in you is now churning. Something in you is now turning. Something in you is putting you on a groove of patience, because you're going to obtain that promise. You're believing for this to happen. You already call it done. You're already speaking to that mountain. You're already believing that that's a done deal. This is already mine. I already have what I'm believing, because it's mine because of the Word of God. And I got a forerunner who's a high priest watching over this word, who's performing it for me now. Do you all get that? That was a revelation. Yes, that was a word of revelation. We have a high priest who paid a price to be where he is, working for us in our behalf before God right now. Job didn't have a day's man betwixt us and God. It says it right in Job. He said, oh, that I would that I had a day's man who could lay your hand on you, on you, and lay his hand on me and plead my case with you. Job didn't have what we have. We have a lawyer, an advocate, an author and finisher of our faith. Jesus began a good work in you, and He will perform it. So after He patiently endured, what do you reckon you're going to have to endure? Let me tell you what the biggest thing you and I are going to have to endure is our old filthy, nasty flesh. This old filthy, nasty, selfish, good-for-nothing flesh will give you more trouble than anything else. And you're going to have to patiently endure some of your old attitudes and your old meanness and all the other bad stuff and habits you've picked up over the years. Selfishness, self-centeredness, poor me, rejection, attitudes, all about me. I'm telling you, we're a wicked and selfish bunch. But if we can just get us out of the way and start believing the Word of God from your heart, You'll be able to obtain those promises a whole lot faster. I learned years ago that if I could get me out of the way, buddy, then promises are coming faster. The promises are being obtained quicker. If I can get my old selfish attitude, my old sinful pity me and poor me and bawling and squalling and feeling sorry for myself, I get that all that junk out under the blood, then I could get the promise quicker. It's the truth. Get me out of the way, God, so I can get this promise. I got to get it, and I need it now. Glory. I tell you what, I just hate the old flesh. This old sinful nature. And your soul man, he just thinks he knows everything. Your mind can figure it all out. You better get in the Word and believe the Word. Period. Bottom line, if God said it, I believe it, and I'll obtain the promise. The quicker I can get my believer believing it, the quicker I can get it settled in my heart that it's a done deal, the quicker I'm going to see the manifestation of it now. That's a fact. We just want to figure God away. We want to figure it all out. God can't be figured out. Can you figure out God? Job said, can you measure the sea in a bucket? Can you tell me how much all that water weighs? God knows how much it weighs. How many stars are there? God knows exactly the number of stars. Every hair on your head is numbered. All we are obligated to do is believe this word by faith. And you're going to obtain the promise. We will only obtain the promise when we believe that we receive the word. Says what we say. If we get our we'll agree with this word and get us out of the way, get our feelings out of the way, we'll get it a whole lot faster. Well, I think maybe I better wait till an evangelist comes along. And God will use somebody. No, God says, He says, they speak of me. Search the scriptures. You think you got eternal life? They are they that speak of me. Right now. He that cometh to God must believe he is what he says he is. We just got to do the patiently enduring. Because we will receive the promise. I'll guarantee you. And let me share this with you. This is so important. Everything I've shared this morning is important. But look at verse 19. Actually, I'm going to go 18 and 19 again. Read this with me. Look at this with me. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the what? The soul. Why do you reckon your soul needs an anchor? It's not your spirit. It's your soul. Your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, your thinker, your feeler, and your chooser, which is your soul, needs an anchor. Because I'm going to tell you what, your soul will give you fits if you don't know how to hold on to that anchor. If you have a big old ship, the bigger the ship, the bigger the anchor. Right? I'm talking, I've been on naval bases, and I've seen those anchors. Those anchors are huge. I mean, some of them anchors wouldn't even, you couldn't put them in the bottom of this building. They're so big. Some of the anchors on those big old ships. Why do you reckon they need an anchor? Well, if you don't have an anchor to a ship, the winds will blow, and that thing will be way out to sea. And they'll be forever trying to drive it back to dock. But if you set an anchor in there, dock, in that dock, you set down a big old anchor, big enough to hold that ship. See, some people have a little bitty anchor, and it wouldn't hold them in place for nothing. They got a little bit of word. That word is a little bit of an anchor, but they don't have a big enough anchor to hold down things that come in their life. And next thing you know, they're driven way out to sea. And you got to tow them back in. Let's tow out and tow them back in. Get an anchor that'll fit you in exactly where you're supposed to be. And the Word of God's the only thing that'll do it. What you believe is your anchor. What you really believe will be, how big is your anchor? How big is your believer? How big is your God? What do you believe God will do for you? Did you believe He'll do exactly what He said He would do? That's your anchor. You can actually know how big your anchor is by how up you are and how down you are. How driven by the winds of life are you? If you're up all the time and you're down half the time, you got a problem with your soul. And you better get some word in that soul and get some anchor. Get a bigger anchor going on there in life. I tell you what, I've been through ups and downs so many times. I got so fed up. I said, God, I'm tired of being happy. I'm tired of being, then I'm down. Then I'm up and then I'm down. I got to go to church service to get up again. I want to live a normal Christian life believing you all the time. I want to be able to deal with the devil when he comes. I want to be able to walk on the mountain all the time. I want to be able to stand and having done all to stand there for, knowing what I believe is the truth. I'm tired of being driven with to and fro with every wind of doctrine. I'm tired of it, God. Don't y'all just get tired of being driven around? The enemy comes along and next thing you know, oh God, I just want to die. Oh God, it's no hope. That ain't no anchor in your life if that's how you are up and down. You've got to get the word in your soul. If you'll start believing the word, it's what it says in Romans. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your thinker, which is your soul. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your soul, which is your anchor. The word is your anchor. So when I find myself in the down and outers and mully grubbers, and I'm just a worm under a rock, and I feel like I just don't want to live anymore, I realize I need some word. I need some word in my soul because my soul is being driven around here. The enemy's able to take advantage of me. I don't like it when I know the devil's walking on my stuff. I don't like the devil in my home, in my territory. That's my garden out there, and I don't want anything out there trampling it down. The enemy will come and trample your stuff down. He'll steal your children. He'll steal your family. He'll steal your mind. He'll steal your life. He'll put you in, he'll kill you if he can. But that's why it says that you have got to get an anchor to your soul. And you know what the anchor is? Verse 18. That we have run and fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. All of this is talking about the Word of God. What do you believe that God said about you? It doesn't matter if I believe God said it for you. You got to believe it for you. You can't believe it's something for me. You got to believe it for you. It's got to be your believing the Word. You know, I've heard people say, well, I can believe for anybody else, but I can't believe for me. Well, that's crazy. You got to believe for you first. You really have to get the word in you first. And it's more powerful. It's more powerful when you go to lay hands on others. And it all goes back. It all really goes back to that first commandment. And this is where a lot of people miss it. A lot of people miss this. And I want to show you what I'm talking about. Y'all got an antenna? Have y'all got an antenna? Ever seen an antenna? What's an antenna? It points up to where the signal is, right? Here's your antenna. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your will. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and all thy soul. And your neighbor, other human beings, whoever your neighbor is, as yourself. As yourself. Well, if you don't like you, that's exactly how you're going to feel about your neighbor. If you don't think you're very good, you're going to think your neighbor's very good. If whatever your attitude is about you, that's exactly how it'll be for other people. If you think you're no count, you ain't going to have very much value for human life, period. If your human life is not valuable to you, other people's human life isn't going to be valuable either. And you're certainly not going to be able to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul. You are the seat of who you are, is right here in your heart. Love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. Search the scriptures. It changes how you feel about and see you first. It changes me. It changes us first. You believe you will never do anything beyond what you believe you can do. And it really will change you. This word will change you. It'll absolutely turn your life upside down. It's turned my life upside down. My whole entire children's lives right now. And I can tell you for a fact, 30 years I've watched it. I've got a history with God. I got history with this word. Could I have done more than I did? Yes, I could have. I am absolutely sure that if I had done more searching, more praying, more reading, more seeking, and more getting me out of the way, I would have been done far more than I've done. But I can promise you, my children are better off because of what I have done for God. Because I did put my feet on the right path. I did put my eyes to the Scripture. Because if I hadn't, I don't think my kids would even be here today. They'd be different people. They'd be totally different people. Y'all get anything out of this morning? Yeah. So I've got a couple more places I want to take you. And let's put our eyes on a Titus. Titus. This is a word for this word here about believing the word and believing God. So important. What you believe. Everybody there? Second Titus. It's right after Timothy, Second Timothy, and it's right before Philemon and Hebrews. Titus. Chapter 2. Chapter 2, everybody there?
Is it after Romans?
It's, yeah, after Romans. Chapter 2. Verse 1. It says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Sound doctrine. Do you know how much doctrine there is out there in all kinds of churches? Do you know how much doctrine's going around out there? I'm telling you, you can go to any church on a Sunday morning and you'll hear 15 different types of doctrine. Plenty of doctrine. That's Titus chapter 2, verse 1. "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." So that means we're supposed to talk about it. We're supposed to speak it. We're supposed to talk it. Think it. Share it. Do you know you can't say anything you don't think first? Did you know that? You're going to have to think something before you talk about it. You're going to have to believe it in your mind and your heart, and then you can think and talk about it. So now you speak that which is sound doctrine. And then let's jump down to verse 11. And second, this is chapter 2 of Titus. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak, and exhort, and rebuke with all authority." You know, you can't go into, a lot of churches don't even preach this. But this is what he says. Speak correct doctrine. Teach the right things to people. We're looking for Jesus to come back. That's what, and it's all over the word. It's all over the word. Verse 14 is, "Who gave himself for us?" Who else gave himself for us? Nobody died for us but Jesus. And look at verse chapter 3. Let's just jump to chapter 3. And look at verse 5. Or verse 4. Look at verse 4. 4 and 5. "But after that the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man, appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." It's a work that the Holy Ghost does in a human spirit. He begins a regenerating spiritual change inside of you. It's a work of the Spirit. Jesus told Nicodemus, "You must be born again." He told the woman at the well, he said, you don't know who you worship. The true worshipers must worship, must. No, there's no option. You must worship him in spirit and in truth. And it's by the regeneration and the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Verse 6, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Jesus said, didn't he say, I came to give them life and give it to you more abundantly? This abundance is so, there is no excuse. There will be, when we get to heaven, I really believe this. When we get to heaven, do you know your soul's going to heaven? Did you know that? You're going to be soul and spirit is going to be in heaven. Your body's the only thing you're leaving here. Your spirit and soul are going to be in heaven. True, it's true. I can show you scripture how it says your soul and your spirit are going to be in heaven. You will remember your, whatever it is you put in your soul, your believer, you got to have some belief. There's going to be a lot of people going back to school in heaven who's going to get their believing straightened out. I believe that there's going to be a lot of doctrinal Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians and all the other ones that's going to have some new, their souls are going to have to be taught right in heaven. That's just what I really believe. Because the Bible says that, you know, your soul and your spirit, only the Word of God can discern between the soul and the spirit. So if your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions, that means you're going to have to get that lined up with the Word. Your spirit man is what's born again. But your soul has got to be renewed by the Word. So if you're believing the Word out of your head and your soul is not believing right, you're going to have to get some sound doctrine in your soul. Go with me to, now, Timothy, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. And it's right before. Y'all there? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Does that sound like search the scriptures to me? Study to show thyself approved. What are you studying? The Word. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. You know, there's people just want to argue the Word. They'll talk and talk and talk and babble, 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 and they're not even talking the Word. They'll babble on about all kinds of things, but they are not speaking the truth. But shun profane and vain babblings. You know what the word vain means? Worthless. The word vanity, vain, means stuff that's worthless. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, let me point something out. Rightly dividing something means knowing where it goes. If I gave you a job in a library, and I gave you a whole bunch of books, and I said all these have to be rightly divided in the right categories. You know, fiction goes in fiction, drama goes in drama, and then you're going to have to put them both based on alphabetical order. Now, that's rightly divide these books up in the right places. I want them in the right plots, right spots. And so I give you a job. You better learn how to rightly divide what I give you to do, right? That's rightly dividing. Do you know a lot of people will take a scripture and they don't know where it goes? Well, does this go in this spot or does this go over here? They'll read a scripture and they'll think, well, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't fit what I've been taught. So you know what they'll do with it? They'll throw it in a garbage can. They'll just pitch it out. It must not fit anywhere. Well, if it's scripture, it fits somewhere. And we're supposed to rightly divide the word of truth. You can't just pitch it out. You got to find out, where does it go? Surely it goes someplace. So if you're in a library and you've got all these books, and you don't know if this fiction or is this drama or is this comedy, you got to rightly divide where these things go. You got to do some research, aren't you? You got to figure it out. You just might not know exactly where everything goes, but you can figure it out. And you know A, B, C, D, E, F, G, if you put it alphabetically, you don't put the F's where the A's go. There are things that go in the right place in this word. There is a place for everything in this world. God is a highly intelligent God. And he didn't give you anything in this Bible that's worthless. Everything he said is valuable. It's a nugget. It's a gold nugget. It's a precious jewel. It's a diamond. You just don't know where it goes. And some people are so proud. I know everything. I know everything about God. And I can tell you all about it. But I'm going to tell you right here and now. Nobody knows God. All about God. Nobody knows everything. Some know more than others. But if you think you got God all figured out, you don't. This word is rich. It's depth to it. It's the great almighty God. Can you measure the sea in a bucket? Do you know how much it weighs? I want to take you now to a couple more places. Let's stay with 2 Timothy, verse chapter 3. Just look down the scripture here. And look at verse 15. 15 and 16. But that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. Now, you can't just say make thee wise and forget that. It's all about being wise unto salvation through faith. Everything about the scriptures, everything, Jesus said, search the scriptures. In them you think you've got eternal life. You can think wrong. You can think you're going to heaven and not really be going to heaven. You can think you're okay with God and not be right with God. If you're not searching the scriptures and they're not speaking of Jesus, you ain't going to heaven. You better get Jesus, because it's all about salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what it says. And it says it. Does it just say it here? I can show you 100 scriptures or more that talk about Jesus Christ as salvation. There is no other name in heaven and earth by which men can be saved, the Bible says. Scripture, rightly dividing the scriptures. Put them in the right place. Put the scriptures, rightly divide the word of truth. Make it mean what it really means in you. Make your believer believe right. See God right. Believe God right, and you'll obtain the promise quicker. The promise will come. If you start believing right, you're going to obtain right. But start rightly dividing the word of truth. Search the scriptures. Let me read verse 15. I love what it says here. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Why is all that? The next verse tells you why all that is. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's all done so that we're going to grow up and be what we're supposed to be for God and do the job we're supposed to do. Every one of us has a job and a task to do. I know that I was called. I know that I'm called in restoration ministry. I'm in the healing ministry, and I'm in the salvation business, the getting people saved, born again, delivered, and that's all of us, really. Some of us have different callings and different things we're supposed to do, but the key is all of this is available so that I could be perfect or mature, grown up. Perfect doesn't mean perfect, like I never make a mistake or I never do anything wrong or I don't ever sin. It means that I am mature. I'm grown up. I'm not a baby anymore. I'm not tossed to and fro. I'm not, you know, in the mully grubs every day. The devil can't come up and eat my lunch every day. I know how to tell him to go. When I can recognize the devil. I can almost smell him before he gets near my home. Do you ever smell an old wet dog? You know there's a wet dog somewhere. Where's that dog? Get that dog out of here. That's how I feel. I can smell the devil sometimes. I can feel him. I can sense him close. And I can deal with him. Some people just let the devil in and let him just eat their lunch. Okay, devil, go ahead and take my furniture, take my clothes, you know, steal my happiness, steal my joy. Go ahead and beat me up. I'll agree with you. Yeah, I'm a no count, good for nothing sinner. Okay, I'll agree with that. And he'll just put his arm around you and just pet you, and you'll just feel so bad. And you're having a party with the devil. instead of getting on the Word of God and rightly divide what the Word says and agree with the Word and put the devil, tell the devil to go. Let me tell you, we got a devil to deal with. There is a real renegade demon spirit that wants to kill, steal, and destroy your life. And he wants to steal. If we didn't have a devil to deal with, it would be easy to serve God. But you know what? He won't be in heaven. That's the good news. He won't be in heaven. He won't be in heaven at all. Go with me. I got one more. Got a couple more scriptures. I'm going to finish. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Having said that, 2 Corinthians, having said that, the Lord just gave me all these scriptures this morning. Every one of these things just came to me in a moment. I just love it when God talks to me. But it's for you. It's for me. It's for us and the growth that he wants us to have. 2 Corinthians 4:4. All right, let's start with verse 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, okay, I'm a pretty intelligent person. I think I'm intelligent. Y'all think you're pretty intelligent? I mean, how smart do you got to be? And you read that verse, that scripture, and you read that scripture, and it says that there is a God of this world who blinds people's minds. Do you want to be in that group that's got some blindness going on? Do you want to be in that category of people that's blind? Whom the devil, the God of this world, has blinded their minds, lest they should believe? What do you believe? How do you rightly divide the word? What do you believe in? The devil is a master at deceiving people to believe the wrong things and categorize God's word in the wrong place. They don't know how to rightly divide the word, so they pitch it out. Or they don't want to believe, or they just ignore it. A good way to deal with it is just don't read that part. Don't read that scripture. Let's overlook that one. Don't read Mark 16 where it says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. Well, let's just ignore that. We'll never preach on that, okay? We'll never look at that one. We'll act like that's not there. But let me tell you something. The word is there for us. It's there for our edification. Glory to God. It's given to us that we can be perfect. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Knowing how it all fits is a powerful thing. And there's been times in my life where I'd read that Bible and it didn't make a bit of sense. I don't understand that. But did I ever pitch it out? No, you know what God taught me how to do? God said, put it on a shelf. Just, you don't understand everything when you first get saved. Just put that verse on a shelf. And one day, as you grow in my kingdom and the things of the word and the kingdom of God, it'll make sense to you and then you'll know where that goes. Oh, that's where that fits. Oh, yeah, now I understand. I now understand what that verse means. Oh, yeah, okay, it goes right there. I can put that in the right spot. And it'll start building a foundation of your life. Your anchor will start getting bigger. The word will be an anchor. I'm talking, I need an anchor. I need a pretty good size anchor sometimes because the winds of life are strong. And the devil is a real devil. And he's going to do what a devil does. And blinding is his key thing he does. If he can blind you, he can blind me, we won't obtain a promise. We'll never succeed in being what God wants us to be on this. You can die and go to heaven when you die, but you'll never fulfill the work and ministry God's called you to do until we can rightly divide this word. I'm going to go back to the verse I started with. Search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life. They are they that testify of me. If those scriptures are not testifying Jesus that you've been searching, you better search some scriptures that testify of Jesus. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, I got one last scripture I feel led to go to, and it's in Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Y'all there? Starting with verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, with all patience and long-suffering, with joyfulness. Where are you getting joyfulness? Why are you joyful? Yeah, you're patient and you're suffering, but why are you joyful? Because you know you're going to get the promise. You know you got it, already got it. It's already yours, whether you see it or not. You can be patiently waiting on it. Patiently enduring, like Abraham. And he did receive the promise. Strengthened with all might, according to the glorious power, with all patience and long-suffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers with the inheritance of the saints in light. You know how God made Eve to be a helpmeet for God? I want to tell you exactly what this verse right here talks about. God made a woman for a man, right? He didn't give a man a horse or a cow. He gave a man a woman. It's another man with a womb. But she was made to specifications. She was made perfectly created for him. Because he knew they would balance each other out. Two people make a mankind. Male and female made he them. Made he man. Man is male and female. Okay? And everything about Eve is perfect for him. In every way. What he's lacking, she's got. Now, you can study that out, but he made him a helpmeet. Somebody who was just exactly right for him. And that's what this verse is talking about. This verse is talking about how verse 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has given you everything that you're ever going to need to be perfectly in union as a saint to receive everything He has provided for you in the kingdom of God now, right now. Do you get it? I don't care what it is you feel like you are lacking. He's made it available to you to be perfect in union with Him. You can be meet. You can be perfectly meet with Him. You can be perfectly whatever you need to be. Get the old selfish attitude out of the way. Get the old ungodly stuff that you think, all the wrong thinking wrong, out of the way. You can receive be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now look at verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Most people don't realize they've been translated. They want to still fight the devil every day instead of putting him under his feet where they need to put him. They put up with him. They put up with the devil. They play with the devil. They talk to the devil. No, the devil is not to be entertained. You got to put him under your feet. And you've been made meet to be a partaker of this inheritance. You've been perfectly made. God has made every provision for you to be perfectly in line with His Word. You can have absolute clarity of understanding, and your believer and your soul can line up with the Word. And in fact, in John it says that your prosperity will come as your soul prospers. Your health will come as your soul prospers. As your thinker lines up with the Word and your believer lines up with the Word, everything is based on what do you believe. But you got to search the Scriptures to find out what it says. Jesus has been made into us. Wisdom, sanctification, knowledge, understanding, everything we need is in Jesus. And I'm going to go on down here to verse 14. We've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and have been translated in the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God and the firstborn of every creature. Now, and you can go on and read the rest of this, but I want to take you to one last verse, 23. All of this is yours But there's an if in verse 23. And when I'd read this, this if always jumped out at me. It's all about if we continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. That's that patiently enduring, if we continue. If we continue. Well, Father, I seal all this word that's been spoken this morning. Father, I seal the word. I seal the word in every heart. I seal the word in every mind. I seal the word as a word that is going to encourage growth. That it'll be like, it'll be just like, Lord, just let this word penetrate every heart and every mind. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.